The natural, wholesome type stifles me by her solemn placidity. She seems so lacking in devious, perverse mischief that I feel apologetic like a Mephistopheles beside her. I also appreciate gestures of adornment that go beyond the natural. I like lipstick, for instance. Of course it serves no useful purpose. It fades quickly and requires constant reapplication. But it represents a festive ideal through exaggeration of the redness of a woman's lips. There is that suggestion that she has just eaten a cherry ice or bitten somebody's skin bloody. I like the glistening sheen, the taste, if I am allowed to taste it, and the telltale evidence it leaves on the collar or cheek. It is hard for a woman to kiss you without spoiling her lipstick, but that marring is part of the fun. For a man of my generation who grew up on Sid Charisse movies, lipstick will always connote something worldly, sexy, if it has no other function but to signify that the woman wearing it has taken the trouble to prettify herself for the public, that is enough to gain my gratitude. It seemed a pity that just as I was coming into my own romantically in the 1960s, many women started abandoning lipstick, eyeshadow, and a dozen other tactics in the armamentarium of arousal. In California, where I lived for part of the 60s, I witnessed the enthronement of the no-fuss natural aesthetic. Guys would boast that their girlfriends looked much more beautiful without all that gunk on their faces. The natural look seemed to be about youth, the creamy, dewy skin of a 17-year-old during that optimum moment when a peachy complexion, for those lucky enough to escape acne, provides all the glow that is required. It so happens I've always been attracted to a more experienced, worn, soulful look, so I resent this privileging of youthful sincerity. Later, cosmetics companies took to marketing the natural look, which required quite a lot of product, applying and then removing layers of powder, blush, eyeshadow. It probably takes longer to achieve the no-makeup look than it did the older, artifacted one. I agree that the no-makeup look can be very pretty. I am not fanatically anti-natural, but I regard the natural look as just another stylistic option. Living as we do in a postmodern era when all historical, ethnic, and environmental styles are available to us like frozen packages in a supermarket counter, it is understandable that we contemporary Marie Antoinettes might wish to play at the pastoral simple life. Hence the fashion in high-rise apartments for country decor, baskets, and patchwork quilts and distressed furniture, everything rough, textured, and naive. Meanwhile, we want our beds to be nice and comfortable with humidifiers on the night table. Well, why not? So long as we understand that natural is at best an unattainable ideal, me, I prefer affectation. Art teaches us that the naturalistic effect is a cunningly arranged fabrication. Degas was fond of saying that to capture the believable appearance of something in a painting, you must distort. The natural-sounding dialogue in an Elmore Leonard story is a product of laborious script, actual conversation transcribed from tapes, wreathed as vague and unconvincing. When we venture into nature, even trekking to a place with no other humans or manufactured objects, we bring our conditioned responses to the experience. We visit the Grand Canyon and see an Ansel Adams photograph. For most of us, there is no possibility of entering through the doors of perception unaffected. The natural is beyond us. We need to embrace impurity, the mixture of nature and artifice, and stop feeling guilty about it. To return to female costume, take the elevation of blue jeans from a grubby, if utilitarian, work garment to the unaffected look in leisure wear. Blue jeans are made by petrochemical processes, so much for their naturalness. Anne Hollander, in her book, Seeing Through Clothes, wisely summed up the contradictions. Quote, to justify and explain the adoption of various modes of non-fashion, women have often invoked the concept of comfort. Jeans worn so tight that the labia majora are clearly molded and the wearer has to lie down to get the zipper closed cannot exactly be called physically comfortable. It is the image of comfort that is desirable, the look of wearing something sanctioned by the fashionable ideal of comfort. Trousers are actually no more physically comfortable than skirts, with a few exceptions, unquote. One argument against skirts, lipstick, and other signs of stylized femininity is that they degrade a woman by turning her into an object of desire for the male gaze. While jeans may ultimately be no more comfortable than skirts, the fact that jeans are unisex means that women who wear them may feel less gender stereotyped, less frilly, more free to act boldly in the world. On the other hand, how is it possible with a tight t-shirt and jeans to deflect the libidinous male gaze? Such a costume packages a woman's anatomy as explicitly as possible while stripping away her glamour. I draw a distinction between glamour and physique. Glamour is the allure produced by the intersection of comeliness and artifice. It requires the proper setting, the right lighting, elegant clothes, and a suitable companion. It is a hard-won sophistication, not for teenagers. The ability to recreate oneself as a mystery, one would think, is an empowerment, not a diminution, of female potential. I admit that it is intensely flattering for a man to be on the receiving end of that effort, but I am willing to go to considerable bother in return, as is only fair. Nothing could be more artificial than to put on a tuxedo with button studs, cummerbund, satin bow tie. However, I have grown to like the ritual of squeezing into a monkey suit, just as I like the old-fashioned exactitude of a suit and tie. A poet I know would attend formal parties wearing a tuxedo jacket and blue jeans to show off his independence. All he was showing was his dependence on the approval of his absent bohemian pals. Embrace formality, affectation, artifice, I say. What have you got to lose? Besides which, the propriety of formal wear can perform like an aphrodisiac once you get home from the gala. There is nothing more fun than the crumpling of her gown and the wrinkling of your boiled shirt now that sartorial perfection no longer matters. Let the dry cleaners deal with it tomorrow. Such are the joys of artifice mixed in with a little nature.